If you would this morning, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm 119, and then find your way to verse 92 and 93. While you're turning there, let me remind you that this Wednesday night is our final dinner of the summer. So if you're going to eat with us, please fill out the card in the bulletin and turn it in today or tonight so that we'll know that you are going to be with us on Wednesday evening for dinner. What is the menu? Lasagna. What else? Chicken Alfredo. Salad. Well, you got this memorized, don't you, brother? You ready? Amen. Amen. So, lasagna, chicken Alfredo, salad, breadsticks, or some sort of bread—garlic bread, garlic knots, garlic something. So, sounds good. Amen. Kind of makes me anticipate Wednesday. Looking forward to it. So, if you're going to eat with us, we'd love to have you eat with us. So, fill out the card in the bulletin and turn it in today. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless and touch the reading of His Word and then the preaching from it. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You and we thank You for the privilege that You've given us to be here in this place, this day, together for the purpose of worshiping and glorifying in You, our great God. And God, I pray that those that are here today who don't know You, God, or who's are doubting their own eternal destination, God, I pray that all souls will leave here knowing it as well, that they are saved by the grace of God in Christ and God destined for glory to be with You. So, God, I pray that You would cause that to happen for Your glory's sake. And I pray that as the preaching today will be weak and feeble, and I pray that in that weakness that You will make Yourself strong, that You will preach, exalt Yourself, and speak to Your people's hearts, open their ears, and may all be done for Your glory, for Your honor, and may You help us with Your Word today. In Christ's name we pray, and for Jesus' sake, amen. Psalm 119, verse 92 and 93. I want to piggyback from last week's sermon, which was the need for revival, and I thought that I probably need to sort of follow that up with a message today on the means of revival. We need revival. How will revival come if it comes? And so we want to deal with that subject this morning. So Psalm 119, verse 92 and 93. The psalmist writes, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened or revived me. And that's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. So last week we looked at the need for revival. And what we said is that revival is needed by God's people. When we're talking about revival, we're talking about a renewing of vigor, a renewing of life in the spiritual atmosphere of God's people. And we said that revival is something that if we ever experience it, it is experienced by God's people who have grown cold on and have gotten lukewarm on God. Now, I feel the need in myself for revival. And to be honest, I see the need in you for revival. Say amen. None of us are where we should be spiritually with the Lord. Confession time. Amen. And so we all join with the songwriter who said, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Amen. So, revival is a sovereign work of God. Only God can revive us, and there is nothing that we can do to make it happen. I can't revive myself. I can't revive you. God must do the work. And if it happens, And last week we said we're praying that it happens. I'm praying that it happens and begins with me. I'm praying that God would revive me, our church, our nation. If it happens, it will be because God is pleased to make it happen. So we saw last week that the reason for revival, the reason that we pray for revival, the reason that we need revival is so that we might rejoice in the Lord, because we fail to rejoice in the Lord the way we should. And we pray that God would help us so that we would be less distracted by the things of the world and our hearts would always rejoice in Him. Revive us, O Lord, that we may rejoice in Thee. So we're praying for revival. I'm praying for me, I'm praying for you, you're praying for you, and praying for me, right? Amen? And for each other. We pray for personal revival, we pray for corporate revival as a church. We pray for our own revival, and we're praying for the reviving of our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we desire to see the Lord rejoiced in. Amen? What I want more than anything from Lakeview Baptist Church is that we are rejoicing in the Lord. Amen? What I want to do today is, for a few minutes this morning, biblically show you how God says revival will come if it comes. Somehow I think we think that revival somehow comes down in some mystical way. We're praying that God would send revival, but the Bible tells us by what means God will send revival if He's pleased to send it. Or, let me put it this way. Where should I be if I am going to experience revival? Where should I be? Where should you be if you are going to experience revival? It's one thing to pray for revival. It's a different thing to be where you are supposed to be to receive revival. Say amen. In what context does God grant revival? That's where we're going today, so hope you'll go with me. Now, I want you to notice what God says in Psalm 119. I want you to open your Bibles. I want you to have them open. Psalm 119, I want you to walk through this text with me as we look at several verses here. They will not be on your screen because you're supposed to bring your Bible. If I didn't bring my Bible to church, I'd feel naked. Say amen. I go to a wedding. If I don't have my Bible, I feel naked. Say amen. So I want you to walk through with me here these verses where God indicates where we need to be if we are going to experience revival. Again, the word quickening is the same word as reviving, and then God uses several different words here to indicate where we should be, which are all the same place. So verse 25 of Psalm 119, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken, revive thou me, according to thy," what's the word? Word. Revive me according to thy word. Verse number 50 of Psalm 119. All of these are in the same chapter of Psalm 119. "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened," or revived, "me." Verse number 93. "I will never forget thy precepts." It's the verse that we read. "For with them thou hast quickened," or revived, "me." Verse 107. "I am afflicted very much. Quicken," or revive, "me, O Lord, according unto thy word." Verse 149. "Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken," or revive, "me according to thy judgment." And the word judgment there is a word that means ordinances, which are simply specific to His word. Verse 154. "Plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word." Verse 156 is the final one. "Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments," or ordinances, or word. So is it not clear from the Scriptures that if we are going to experience revival, then it will be through the Word of God. We must be in the Word of God. That's where I have to be. I have to pray that God would send revival, and I must be in the Word of God if I am ever going to experience the reviving work of God in our souls. It's not some mystical thing. It comes to us from God in the Word of God. Say amen. So let me say three things about this morning. Number one, let me say some things about being driven to the Word of God. Driven to the Word of God. The psalmist here says that he is in great affliction. And what he says here in this long psalm is that he is feeling that in his spiritual environment, in his spiritual nature, he's feeling as if he's shriveled up. He's feeling as if he is dried out. He's feeling as if maybe he has been set aside and has become useless. You ever feel that way? You ever feel spiritually shriveled up? Spiritually in a dry place? Have you ever felt you're no good to yourself, much less anybody else, spiritually? That's the way the psalmist was feeling. Why did he feel this way? Why was he feeling this sadness? Why was he overcome with this difficulty? Why do we feel this way? Why do we feel the pain of our spiritual barrenness, our discontentment? Why do we feel depressed? Why do we feel discouraged? Why do we feel that we're no good to ourselves, much less any help to anybody else spiritually? Well, we feel that way, hopefully, and those are good things. It's good to feel shriveled up. It's good to feel dried out. It's good to feel set aside and useless if those things drive us to the only place where there is an answer to them. It's good to be afflicted, as the psalmist was afflicted, if it causes us to realize that we need God. Say amen. If it causes us to realize we need more of Him in our lives, and it drives us to hear His words. Now, these things can drive us in other directions, toward other things. But what God has designed them to do is drive us to Him. And to find Him in His Word. Listen, you don't find God in nature hugging a tree. Somebody help me. You find God in His Word. Say amen. If you're hunting for God, you better be hunting for Him in the Word. That's where He is. You don't find God in the entertainment venues of the world. You find Him in His Word. Matter of fact, I would say this, there's no other place that you'll find Him except in His Word. The Word of God tells us about Him. The Word of God tells us about His will, about His ways, about His wonder. The Word of God is the self-revelation of God Himself, in which He tells us everything about Him that He wants us to know and everything about Him that we need to know while we're in these earthly bodies. So everything that I need to know, everything that God wants me to know about Him, I find in the Word of God. Say amen. And the more time I spend in the Bible, the more time that I spend in the Word, the more opportunity I have to be revived. Now, we can pray for revival, but if we never crack open our Bibles, are we going to have revival? Not if the means are the Word of God. You see, the enemy, Satan, the devil, has gotten us so busy and so tired, we don't have the time or the energy to study the Word of God. And because he has done that, you know what he has secured? No revival. He has secured that if we are Christians, we'll be lukewarm and lethargic because we don't have time or the energy to be in the Word of God. Somebody help me. He knows that reviving comes by the means of the Word. So let me say something here. When you read the Bible, when you read the Word of God, do it with a goal of understanding it the best that you can. It does no good to read the Bible if we don't understand what it says. It would be better to understand one verse than to read the whole thing and not understand any of it. Say amen. So read it with the motivation of understanding what God is saying. Get some resources to help you better understand what God is communicating in His Word. You not only need to get into the Word of God, but listen, the Word of God needs to get into you. It needs to change your life. These truths need to change your lives. And if I stand here today and fail to preach to you the Word of God, how could we ever expect to be revived? How can we be spiritually revived on a diet of self-help and self-exalting sermons? The answer is, we can't. Say amen. Self-help and self-esteem sermons only foster more lukewarmness, not reviving of God. So, may the feeling of our dryness, our uselessness, or our dissatisfaction, or our barrenness, may those things drive us to the Word, because it is in the Word that the psalmist says that God may breathe life back into us. Let our fears, let our worries, let our bitterness, let our unforgiving spirit drive us to the Word of God as we pray that God would send revival to our souls. Pray and study the Word of God. That's where we find revival, if we are going to find revival. So there is a driving, the things in our life driving us to the Word of God so that we might find strength and refreshment and reviving from God. Number two, let me say some things about a desire for the Word. A desire for the Word. Now here is an interesting thing to think about. Spiritual life, let me back up. Sometimes we think reviving is the full thing at once. But sometimes when you get into the Word of God, God is pleased just to breathe a breath or two in you. Say amen. A little strengthening in you. A little life in you. But the thing about it is that when God breathes and grants spiritual life, that spiritual life that He grants develops in us a desire or a greater desire for the Word. In other words, the more spiritual life that you have, the more you will desire the Word of God. It's like a thermometer. It tells our spiritual temperature. How do I know my spiritual temperature? By my desire for the Word of God. Somebody help me. The more I am in God's Word, the more I desire to be in God's Word. Say amen. The less I'm in God's Word, the less I want to be in God's Word. Somebody help me. The more I know of Him, the more that I learn of Him, the more that He reveals of Himself to me, the more I want to know. Revival comes when the Word of God shapes our thoughts, shapes our decisions, shapes our motives, and shapes our character. The more we engage in the Word of God, the more those things happen. It's silly for us to think that our character and our motives and our decisions and our thoughts are going to be shaped by the Word of God when we're very rarely in the Word of God. Say amen. The more spiritual life you have, the more you want your thoughts and your decisions and your motives challenged by the Word of God. Am I thinking right? Am I deciding right? Are my motives right? And the Word of God challenges all of those things. The more you'll want your theological understandings shaped by the Word and not by human reasoning. I want what I believe about God to be biblical and not some human idea. Say amen. And the more I'm in the Word of God, the more that I want those things to be. You with me? The problem we have is that we simply do not think the Word of God is very important in our lives. We don't. And I don't think we would admit that publicly. We wouldn't say that I don't think the Word of God is important in my lives, but practically, we must believe that because the Word of God has such a small place in our lives. Say amen. We have time for everything else, don't we? Don't we have time for everything else? We have time to watch our favorite TV shows, right? Say amen. And now we can just record them, right? We can just DVR them. Just record them so that we can make time to watch them. Listen, we have time to watch two-hour movies. But we don't have time to invest in hearing or reading what God has to say to us. Somebody help me. You see, the more spiritual life that God gives us, the more of a priority the Word of God will have in our lives. Revival will not come to me, or to you, or to our church, unless we are in the Word of God. And the more spiritual life that God chooses to give us, the more that we will desire to be in the Word of God. It's sort of like a domino effect. What I'm trying to say is this. If we get into the Word of God will make a difference in our lives. But if we won't spend time in the Word of God, then it won't make a difference in your life. Is that true? Let me put it this way, because it doesn't look like y'all are getting it. If you had a disease, you had an incurable disease, and I came up with the cure, and I put the cure in a bottle for you, and you took the bottle of medicine home with you, and knowing this is the cure for your disease, but you left that bottle, or you left the medicine in the bottle, is it going to help you? And yet we think we can leave our Bibles in our cars, we can leave our Bibles on the shelf, we can leave our Bibles on the table, unread, and we think that it's going to help us. It won't. Say amen. If we looked at our Bibles the way we're always looking at our phones, wouldn't we be a lot better off? Somebody help me. Number three. We see here that our afflictions, our dryness, our proneness to wonder is designed to drive us to the Word. When we get to the Word itself creates in us a desire for more of the Word. And finally, there is a delighting in the Word. The psalmist says in verse 92, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction." Now, there are a lot of strange fires that are labeled revivals. But this is what I know. A spirit of revival will always evidence itself in a delight in the Word of God. Not a drudgery, a delight. And notice that the psalmist here says, "Thy law had been my delights." Your commandments, your requirements have been my delight. You see, it is in the Word that the Holy Spirit works. How does the Holy Spirit communicate to us? How does the Holy Spirit work in us? Through the Word. We can only be renewed by the Holy Spirit who has birthed us from above. So it is in the Word of God that we return again and again to the cross, and we look at the dying Savior, and it is there that the Holy Spirit renews our faith and quickens all of our graces. We feed anew on the flesh and blood of Christ by faith, so that the Holy Ghost will renew our strength and give us a revival. The Holy Spirit works through the Word. It's as if we sit here acting as if the Holy Spirit is just going to plop it down on us. No, it comes through the Word. Now, I want to say this, and I hope you don't misunderstand me. If I was pastoring a really spiritual, alive, revived church, I would have been dead long ago. Because you people would have caused me to preach myself to death. Somebody help me. The only reason I'm still alive is because y'all are half dead. Somebody help me. You see, the delight of those who are revived by God is preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preacher, we're coming. You better preach the Word. Oh, you come and you say, "Preacher, tell us. Tell us again about Jesus. Tell us again about what Jesus has done for us. Tell us again about what we have in Christ. Tell us again what He has prepared for us in glory. Tell us again how He wants to live. Tell us, preacher. Tell us, preacher. Tell us, preacher." I'd have preached myself to death long ago. I read preaching books, a lot of them. Most preaching books go into great detail about how important the first 2 minutes of a sermon are. The first 2 minutes of a sermon are vitally important, they say, because in these first 2 minutes of your sermon, you either win their attention or you lose their attention. These books tell me that in these first 2 minutes, you, the hearer, decide whether what I am going to say is interesting and relevant to you or not. And I say to those books, baloney. That may be true of lukewarm, cold people, but this is what I think. I think when the preacher stands and says, "Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119, verse 92 and 93, we ought to delight in that. I should be interested in what the preacher is going to say when he gives the reference. Psalm 119, 92, 93 ought to get us excited. I preached in a black church one day. Well, I didn't preach in a black church. I preached where black people were attending. And I got up and I gave the text, and all the black people said, "All right, let's go." I didn't know what to do after that. We ought to get excited when we address the text that is going to be read. We ought to be excited when we read the text. We ought to delight that we are hearing the very words of God. when we are being spiritually revived. Programs, church programs are not our delight. Entertainment is not our delight. The Word of God is our delight. Nothing puts a smile on the face of a revived person like the Word of God. Preach, preach, preach the Word. And did you notice again that the psalmist delights in ordinances and judgments? He delights in the Word when it encourages him. He delights in the Word when it convicts him. He delights in the Word when it confronts him. He delights in the Word when it comforts him. He delights in the Word when it rebukes him. He delights in all the Word. Why? Because it is the revelation of His God. And it is the means by which He is revived. Now, I want to show you two videos. And I want you to watch these videos, because every time I watch them, I cry. The first video is a tribe in Indonesia. And they are receiving printed copies of the Word of God in their own language for the first time. And I want you to see the event that they put on over the Word of God. The second video is a video of Chinese Christians who are receiving their first Bibles. And I want you to watch how they respond when they receive their very own copy of the Word of God. So watch this. These are the Bibles. They're flying them in on the plane. Would be to God that He would make us excited about His Word like that again. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. God, I pray that You would put in us an excitement for it, a love for it, an appreciation for it, that we would read and study and hear Your Word preached. It would be the delight of our hearts, the desire of our souls. That when we feel dry and we feel barren, those feelings would drive us to Your Word, where You can strengthen us and where You can revive us by Your Spirit. So God, I pray that we would pray for revival, our own revival, revival of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we would be in the very place where revival could happen if You would send it, and that is in Your Word. We pray that would be true of all of us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.